on Stay Tuned. A little bit late, but still here. Bathroom Spears Sides. Coming right at you, the March 21st, 2002 edition. Hang tight. Welcome to Bathrop Spear's Broadsides. I'm the broad-sided Bathrop Spear, and I'll be with you until 8 o'clock here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. If you want to come into the studio and then head out toward radios everywhere across the city, and hopefully even further, they're on the Internet. We've actually got people listening as far away as, who knows, New York City. Maybe somebody in Hawaii that I talked to earlier today, who knows. You can catch us at www.microradio.net, www.microradio.net/FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. And, of course, until you move out of range, you can always catch us at 96.3 FM here in Santa Cruz. And that's what we do 24 hours a day. I'm here, as I said, for 2 hours. My show concerns itself with civil rights and particular issues around local rights for poor people, rights for renters, rights for folks on the streets. That's my shtick. That's my interest. And if it's yours, call in and let's talk about it. If you disagree with what you hear, I encourage you to call in and talk. And that's what the show's all about, dialogue and discussion. Let's begin with some interviews from the streets and take it from there.
Okay, it's March 16th, about 9:05 on the street here in front of Borders. And there is one guitarist here on the sidewalk, but not a lot of musicians out. There's a fellow blowing the mega-sized bubbles across from the Cinema 9. The Del Mar is open with its new blue and red fluorescent sign. And there's sort of a small number of people here in front of Borders, although the evening is kind of frosty and cold. So, hey there, Senor Fiddler. What's
Red
happening?
Fiddler, hey. How you doing, Robert? We're just out here on the scene and on Pacific Avenue. As you know, there's been really a crackdown and a step up of police harassment lately.
So what's happened tonight? Anything particular?
Well, actually last night I saw a musician was being made to move, they said 10 feet away from the building, and the officer said that there's an ordinance that says that you have to, that you're not allowed to stand within 10 feet of any retail business.
No, I don't think so. You're not allowed to sit within 10 feet of
retail. I know. I spent all day Friday at the law library reviewing the municipal code, and I don't know which municipal code this officer was talking about. There is no such ordinance.
Isn't that the name of the officer who was saying this?
Not really.
Was it in the evening or in the afternoon?
It was an evening shift.
Did you say there had been a complaint from somebody?
No. Although this guy was playing accordion, and in my book that should be grounds for mandatory jail time.
An accordion, go to jail. It's traditional. But where was this? In front of what store?
Gosh, it was, well, let's see. It was right near, I think it was near the Pacific Trading Company, but it wasn't them. It was a few doors down. And the night before at Pacific Trading Company, a guitar player had been actually given a citation.
For
trespassing.
Trespassing. Well, in theory, I mean, they have been giving out tickets for people in the under the awnings or in the alcoves of stores, although there's an argument to be made that if those stores are closed, it's a public area and it's being used publicly, although they have claimed, you know, driving people out into the rain, as they did Cosmic Chris, the musician, I guess, within the last week for playing the guitar down there by Blockbuster, right next to the Cinema 9. So I see you also have a newcomer with you. What's your name, sir?
My name's Ricardo Lopez. I'm from Berkeley.
Welcome, Ricardo.
Thank you very much.
We're going to interrupt this interview on tape to get a real interview on the air with Mad Mike the Wonder Dog. Hey there, Mike.
Hey, what's up, baby? Long live the revolution. You know, it's on, you know, fuck George Bush, fuck the FTC, fuck the CIA, fuck the Patriot Act, fuck the New World Order, and all this other bullshit, and people are going to take back over what's going on around this motherfucker.
More fucking, less fucking around.
All right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up, you agitator? You've been doing all kinds of, I heard you got, you know, Fitzmaurice, little punk ass. I ain't gonna say the F word, you know.
Don't say the word flunky or Fuhrer. They'll kick you out of city council.
Flunky or Fuhrer, yeah.
I think you can say the word fuck in city council, but you can't say flunky or Fuhrer.
You can say that, actually?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I don't use it in my speeches because I think
it puts too many people off. I think he's a right-wing, conservative, Green Party infiltrator from the Nazi Party and the Ku Klux Klan. I think the man is, I don't know how the hell he got in the Green Party. The Green Party should disown his ass because he don't, just like him and Mike Rockins, supposed to be progressive, social, liberal, punk ass, scum sucking, maggot, fucking piece of shit. You know, I mean, what the hell? You know, we got freedom of speech here, and, you know...
You certainly do, but use it wisely. What announcement do you have for us here, Mike?
Oh, yeah, Mayday at the Loudon Nelson Center in the park. Loudon Nelson is a picnic in the park, Mayday. Mm-hmm. I think Mayday is Wednesday, right? Wednesday?
I don't know. I haven't got a calendar here, but could be.
May 1st, from 4 to 7 p.m., in the park, Mayday celebration, second annual Communist Revival in the park, the Communist Party, Communist Party USA, which I'm a proud card-carrying member
Uh-oh.
Of.
Uh-oh, I'm calling the FBI.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me
That's
check
right.
the other line.
Yeah, they'll be there. Don't worry about it. You don't have to call them. They already know about it.
Yeah, well,
they'll be there, and we're going to try to indoctrinate them and get the joint party. And we've got the Young Communist League out there, maybe Jarvis Turner. Come on, please. Please.
Well, it's like a pretty rowdy crowd you got there.
We got a right wing.
So you're talking about a May Day celebration at Loudon Nelson Park, 4 to 7. Anything else you want to pass on?
Yeah, that you know, all these, you know. Have you been hearing about these little new advertisements about how great it is to be in Santa Cruz? You know, a little, you know, trip in the redwoods and.
Those are probably come over television or radio, and I don't listen to much of either.
All right. Now, you need to listen to AM, was it AM 1040, something like that?
1080,
you know?
Right, yeah.
1080, you think? That's
well, that's KSCO.
It's called Michael Savage of the Savage Nation, the ultra right wing.
Yeah, probably.
Punk scumbag.
That's Michael Zwerling's radio show, yeah.
Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going to happen, and it's going on, baby, and.
What's
and
the word from
bringing those cars out there? I had nothing to do with that,
hey,
by the way.
Miguel, Michael, you're a camper outside. How's the life outside for the folks? Any reports from the hills?
Just other than finding dead people around every now and then, here and there, hanging by from train trestles.
Well, I've heard about
out by the tracks and.
I've heard about one dead person, the guy who was found, you know, murdered, and I've heard about, I guess some guy was supposed to have died in Denny's, but I still haven't been able to track down that story.
Yeah, well,
Any information on any recent deaths or injuries or harassment by police?
No, it's been a few people I met. I saw them at the vet's hall. It looked like they've been pretty beaten up. And I saw one dude at Coral Street. It looked like he had that little chest protector plate thing when you have when your ribs are cracked or something and a black eye, you know. So it's, you know, stuff like that happens every day. Little Nazi punk troll buses, you know, they do all kinds of shit like that, and the police condone stuff like that, you know. That part of the problem,
you know.
I heard a rumor that all these police that came over here, it was like a whole wave of them came over, those from LAPD
that I don't know, could be,
and
no,
they got stopped before us there for murdering people, shooting them, and then they got transferred here to Santa Cruz. You know, we live in a right wing Nazi fascist.
Well, I haven't heard of a lot of federal. I haven't heard of a lot of LAPD being fired, unfortunately. I mean, they did this brief Rampart deal, and then it all fizzled out.
They exonerate themselves. You know, they can shoot somebody, like that one punk in San Francisco that shot somebody after the dude gave him the dude had no business whipping his ass, but he backed away from like 10 feet, and he took two steps back, and the cop that he was undercover, not undercover, off-duty police had a gun, and he just backed up and shot him like four times in the chest.
What's happening around, I know the post office, it used to have a lot of folks sleeping there at night, kind of under the, you know, the eaves of the post office. Is that still happening, do you know?
No, I haven't seen anything of it, but if people still camp there, the vets are all there. For all you vets out there listening, you know, from Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday from 8:30 to like 12, we have breakfast and lunch for vets, and you can bring a guest or something like that at the vets hall.
Wow. That's great.
I'm a vet, and I used to work for the fascist police state. They wanted me to join our Naval Intelligence Service. You know, but I told them to fuck off and die.
Well, Mike, thank you for calling in. I'm gonna pull the plug here and get back to the what we were listening to before. But anything you want to add before we go?
We got you on the air now. They finally pulled the radio out.
All right. Well, you should listen very closely. Yeah. Everything
keep
I say is very important,
state, baby. You know, masturbate and smash the fascist police state. 36.3 Pirate Radio Station, Santa Cruz.
Thank you, man, Mike. Alrighty.
And that was one-time free radio broadcaster Mad Mike the Wonder Dog. Giving us his unique perspective from wherever he happens to be. I guess a Communist Party meeting, or maybe just who knows where he is. But he's given us information about May Day, which is about a month away. Around the same time, May 3rd and 4th, there's going to be a homeless activist summit for those folks who are wondering why we aren't forming tent cities, doing massive protests downtown, hanging from the chandeliers, and bungee jumping from the town clock, doing something to deal with the issues of, well, every night homeless people sleep outside. Not only do they have to sleep outside, which is bad, but even worse is the fact that they're criminals for doing so and harassed by the police, unable to join together in groups of people and sleep more safely. And then when they try to bring these issues up at city council, they get shut down. And that, of course, is really the issue around this this whole brouhaha with the fascist salute and the eviction from city council chambers, which happened to me last Tuesday, I should say, a week ago Tuesday. It's not whether one should have the right to make a Sieg Heil motion or a Heil Krone motion at city council. Obviously you do, and you should have that right, provided you don't do so repeatedly in such a fashion that disrupts the entire business. Though some would argue that if there's no business going on, or if it's business opposed to the people's business, maybe it's the business of all of us to do that. But in fact, that wouldn't be an act of civil disobedience. It would violate the law and not be protected specifically by the First Amendment. However, when you are simply engaging in natural expressions of emotion that are appropriate, political expressions that, after all, where else at city council but you express your political sentiments? I mean, there's the most obvious place. Provided you don't do so in a fashion that stops the entire business and derails it and disrupts it, there should be no cause for complaint. There should, in fact, be cause for applause, because the more people we have participating, even people we don't like, people we don't agree with, the more chance that something will come out of this and that some little clique will not take over and rule, as seems to have been the case for the last, who knows, decade or more here in Santa Cruz. So the more people who show up, the better, as far as I'm concerned, and the more expression of sentiment, the better. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a healthy thing. I'm glad to see it when it happens. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen that much at Santa Cruz City Council, and it's not really covered much in the media when people, what happens when people don't show up and don't aren't an active part of the process. People in positions of power get more powerful kind of by default. So it is that they don't have to expel people from city council. They don't have to arrest people. They just have to threaten to do so in order to spread fear and actually make people disinclined to even come to the council meeting, because they realize that they won't get a fair opportunity to speak, that their public comment time will be cut short, that even if they got, even what they say will be ignored, that council members will eat, read newspapers, chat with each other, guffaw, interrupt during the discussions, during your attempt to make, during your one attempt after waiting for 20 minutes to get up there and give your 2 or 3 minutes at the mic, you'll be treated with disrespect, and then, of course, you'll be ignored. And any kind of dialogue that you attempt to have with the city council will be frustrated and cut short unless one of the golden seven decides that they want to talk to you for some reason. Then they can make that grand choice and interrupt other people, take away from public comment time, apparently, because that's what Christopher Krohn did when he arrested me. My beef with Krohn, the mayor at that point, was that he, and it was a very, almost a procedural matter. I mean, I was respecting the process of the city council, which he said involved 30 minutes of public comment before the agenda items, as comment on any items the public wanted to talk about, followed by, I should say, in that process, each person, he cut them back from 3 minutes to 2 minutes, because he wasn't going to allow people an extra 15 minutes, even though council ended up recessing early, or adjourning early, about 9:30 in the evening, which is very early for city council. Average city council means go till 10, 11, sometimes 12 or 1. So Krohn, you know, was making the choice that the public was less important than the council, and that he wasn't going to allow the public there to make its, to do its usual 3-minute speeches about the issues that they had perhaps been waiting, who knows, for 2 weeks perhaps to say something about. And when he cut off the last speaker without letting her say anything, even though there were only 3 of us left, it would have taken a total of 6 minutes. He was only allowing us 2 minutes each to finish it up. I silently gave him a Heil Krone salute. And for that, I was told to leave the chambers, and I had a choice. Am I going to succumb to this kind of fear? Am I just going to sort of quietly go out the door and, you know, do that? And I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that. There's nothing disruptive about what I'm doing. It is sheerly pandering to a kind of authoritarian mentality, I would even say a fascist-like mentality, that states that your opinion is worth, we are going to make sure that you and those watching you realize our power so thoroughly that we will not allow you to make a silent gesture. And that's what Crone did. He was actually following the lead of his shadow mayor, Fitzmaurice, man to his right. However, he did it. He made that choice. And I just sat down, I was arrested, and spent 5.5 hours in jail, and now still face a trial, a jury trial, for disrupting a public meeting. I didn't disrupt a public meeting. I can't imagine how I would lose that jury trial, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to have to go to court. It doesn't mean I'm not going to spend time and look for an attorney. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have to worry when I show up in city council on Tuesday. It isn't going to happen to me again. And if that might not reflect badly on my case and all this crap. But the only thing to do with this is really to kind of set that all aside and realize what your rights are as a citizen, as a human being, and that really it's a positive thing to do in the community to assert those rights. You know, it really is, because it allows other people to assert their rights. So that's why I'm encouraging people to come to City Council next Tuesday. I haven't yet got the agenda. I should be getting it tomorrow, and I'll be discussing it on Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. That's the show you're listening to. I'll be discussing it on Sunday when we return from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and talking about what they actually have on their agenda. But more important, usually, with the City Council is what they don't have on their agenda. The issues they're choosing to intentionally ignore, the phone calls they're not returning, the emails that they're tossing in the trash. And those concern issues that we've talked about a lot on the radio station, things like rent control, rather obvious, the war that is blasting around us as they find new evidence of conspiracy by Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and terrorist groups, gee, and nations everywhere. Isn't this a shot in the arm for the military and Führer Bush? And at the local level, of course, people are more prone to stay quiet, stay in line, not cause trouble. That's what seems to me to be the case, because when I saw this kind of war happening 10 years ago in Iraq, there were thousands of people on the streets. But unfortunately today, there's virtually nobody. I think tomorrow evening from between 5 and 6:30 at Ocean and Water Streets, there'll be some people holding up signs saying, "Stop the bombing." And my hats are off to them, and one of these days I'll join them. I mean, I guess in our way, we're all doing our own kind of private thing on this issue of ending the war, which of course is really much less effective and much less meaningful than if we came together and did something. And I've invited people to do that, and I continue to invite people to do that. And I often think it's important, some disagree with me, to mix issues. So for instance, probably the next time I show up with my table at Yuppie Planter, the area in front of New Leaf Market that has been fenced off for the benefit of the two businesses there, Sushi Nally, Baba's Cafe, with the connivance of New Leaf Market, or I should say with the silence of New Leaf Market, I'll be talking about a lot of issues at that table, distributing literature around the closing of the Armory, which is on April 15th, around the Homeless Summit, which I've mentioned before is coming up May 3rd and 4th, with the rights of homeless people to use the necessity defense, which is something that hasn't really been used much here in Santa Cruz. It was used by Camp Paradise, and it failed at the local level, but the appeal has still yet to be heard. The judges are short-circuiting, or I should say stonewalling, the legal process by not getting the tapes, the audio tapes that were made, to the defense. So they can't really make a settled statement on appeal in an appropriate way, and that appeal has been stalled for 4 months. So I'm going to be distributing that literature about that. I have a new article I've written for next month's Street Spirit, and I believe other people have written some articles. Linda Lemaster, Becky Johnson have written articles. We're going to try to give you an advanced peek at what's coming out in the monthly San Francisco American Friends Service Committee Street Spirit newspaper, the newspaper distributed by homeless people, so you can get a little spare change to get in off the streets, as they tell you, they give you tickets for playing your guitar under the eaves of these sacred buildings, which these businesses, which, you know, even if closed, we must worship them as we go by, not stand too long there, lest a sergeant starts screaming at us for leaning against a building, or possibly a merchant like Matisse Selman of Sushi Now fill out a complaint for blocking the sidewalk with one of our tables, if even though we're nowhere near blocking the sidewalk, or possibly Alibaba of Alibaba's Cafe, Ali Ka, will call the police on us for playing a guitar because it interferes with his amplified music. I mean, times are pretty strange when we're in this position, and it's really important for us to resist this kind of dark change that is happening. It is really the dark side going on, and it has to do with money, and it has to do with the vast amounts of money now that are being poured into the police department and the law enforcement agencies after September 11th, and Santa Cruz has been going on for years anyway. But, you know, I'm curious to know what you have to think about this, what your thoughts are. My number here at Free Radio is 427-3772. Give a call to old Robert here and let him, let's have a little bit of a dialogue here and see what kind of thoughts you might have. Again, as I said, the city council meeting is coming up on Tuesday. And at that council meeting, there's going to be a press conference for the council meeting where a lawsuit is actually going to be announced, and a lawsuit in federal court. Hasn't been filed yet, but it'll probably be filed Monday or Tuesday, and we'll talk about it in more detail, of course, there at the press conference. But the nub of it is that at city council, a place where poor people can't really expect to get a fair shake, even if there were a better process, but still, there is such a repressive process going on there, where people are being driven away just because of the ongoing obliviousness, not just to the public, but the way not just the procedures they're using, which are bad procedures, but the council's failure to follow its own procedures. And then when people remind them of it, those people are threatened or evicted, and if they don't leave the council because they believe they have a right to continue in their discussions with, and not discussions, continue in the, at least attending public sessions and public meetings, they're arrested and dragged away from the council in handcuffs and face more charges. And that is something that violates the Constitution of the United States, violates the First Amendment of the Constitution, which says that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the, restricting the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. And that applies not just to Congress, it applies to state legislatures, and it applies to city councils and county board of supervisors. And unfortunately, it is too infrequently that these bodies are reminded that they have responsibilities as well as powers, and that when they go too far, they will be held in check. Now, of course, I don't have a lot of confidence in the courts. The attorneys I have who actually volunteered to take my case here, and I'm talking about my civil case. There are actually two cases here. One is a lawsuit against the city council for what it's doing. The other is a defense of me to the effect that I didn't disrupt a public meeting. And any fool can see, if you look on the internet under www.santacruz.indymedia.org, where you'll see the tape of what happened on the 12th, you'll see there was no disruption. There was a brief raising of the hand and a lowering of the hand. And then that was the basis for this big stink made by Fitzmaurice and Crone. And again, the issue is not a fascist salute. The issue is, how do we change city council so we can actually get real matters discussed and dealt with and addressed and considered and real solutions put forward? Whether, you know, as I said, the obvious issues I'm working on have to do with civil rights, restoring civil rights for homeless people outside, where there's a $54 fine if you cover up with a blanket after 11 o'clock at night, or if you fall asleep on any public property or in your own private vehicle, legally parked with a driver's license in your pocket, harming no one with no complaint from anybody. That is a $54 fine. And it's as simple as that, and it's as absurd and vicious. And the reality is, this cannot be brought to city council. They will not put it on the agenda. They will not discuss it. And if you even refer to it in the course of discussions on other matters, you'll find people like council member Sugar interrupting, as he did Scott Rhodes at the city council several weeks ago, when Rhodes was saying, oh, you want to let, you know, people pay a lot of money for insurance policies and nonprofits, and then be able to sleep for 2 weeks in the park if they're part of a conservation project. If Czar Lang, the head of the Parks and Rec, agrees, well, that means what about the rest, all the other 99% of the homeless people who can't afford to do those things? And who, I mean, isn't this a form of forcing people to work in order to do a basic function like sleep? Isn't that slavery? And Sugar said, you can't talk about that. That's the sleeping ban. We're not discussing the sleeping ban. And Crone made similar intimidating comments to Rhodes, who, to his credit, brushed them off and said, no, this is about that issue. It's exactly about that amendment. You're proposing some minor modifications, but you're not going to the basic issue. And if you let people sleep only if they work, you're engaging in slave labor, because people have to sleep, and so, ipso facto, to be legal, they have to work. And they have to work specifically at these kinds of slave labor projects that you propose. So I think it was, you know, completely relevant. But we see the kind of process at City Council. And hopefully the lawsuit that will be filed will, in essence, give people more courage in resisting these bad processes at City Council. And hopefully let the, maybe I would hope, give people on the City Council who might want to say something but are afraid Fitzmaurice is going to scowl at them or Scott Kennedy is going to make some objection or Sugar is going to growl at them, who knows, maybe they'll have some courage after this kind of a lawsuit comes up. We'll have to see.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Oh, who is this?
This is Doug.
Hey, the criminal university camper. I'm afraid we don't allow criminals to call on this line.
Don't worry, it's not my only call.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I heard about you. You know, I got your call.
All right.
I understand that you called the Huff line earlier.
I did. I went to court today, actually.
Oh, no. You should have told me. I would have come on down. You didn't give a court date.
It was the arraignment. It was kind of a...
I hope you disqualified Mulligan.
I didn't.
You blew it.
Really?
Yep. Mulligan is the worst judge, and he is so terminally prejudiced in favor of the police. Although he's very smooth and very nice to people, he has a nice sort of PR surface to him that you can't get. You might be able to disqualify him. You might ask to.
Yeah.
You might go to the window of the basement of the county building, and at some point tomorrow or the next day, and say, "Look, I want to disqualify Mulligan."
Because I got Danner last time, and he was awful.
Danner was awful.
Now that guy's terrible.
Yeah, Danner is pretty horrible. He was, of course, the former DA now.
He was, like, joking around with the district attorneys and, like, apologizing to the police officer for having to wait. And,
right.
And the case was really, like, I mean...
This was a similar case. You were camping up at UCSC, is that the deal?
Well, this one, you know, they've definitely got a stronger case. But what an interesting issue is for me is whether this is university land and whether it's, like, the university has a different level of money that they have people pay for a ticket.
Right, you're thinking...
And how, I don't even know how that could even be, like, changed. I know that the city council did lower it to their credit, like, some point recently.
Right, you're talking about there's a city camping law, and then there's a university camping regulation.
Yeah.
And the real question is, which one are they charging you with?
They're doing the UC one, but it's weird because it's joint, like, UC Santa Cruz.
What's the number of the code?
Jesus.
So they're doing the UC code, I think you're screwed.
UC 57.
Right, I mean, see, they choose, that's the UC code, they choose what code they charge you under.
Oh, okay.
I mean, my suggestion to you would be to, of course, this is my activist, evil genius working. I'd contact Huff UCSC on campus. That's
all right.
427-0270 for all you listeners out there. Again, grab your pencils. 427-0270.
Yeah.
Huff UCSC meets every Wednesday night at 6. You just sort of missed a meeting, although I don't think they had one this week.
They probably did. I think it's like they're on break.
Yeah, I think they're on break. But
yeah.
Steve Weiss is the man who covers that. He may be gone for break. He'll be back, I know, for the council meeting where we're going to be both presenting this this issue of... Have you been listening to the show or not?
I tuned in about 10 minutes ago.
Right. Well, then you caught the when we're discussing at the next city council meeting. There are some individuals who are rather upset at what city council did to me. Not just because of any personal loyalty, but because they feel, you know, this is not an appropriate way to treat members of the public who are, you know, just engaging in rather mundane expressions of speech. Some of them are sharp, some of them are dull, but none of them are disruptive. And the idea that you can arrest people for doing that ain't such a good one. But anyway...
Yeah, I was there for... I wasn't there when you got arrested. I saw when you made the signal, and then I left shortly thereafter. I guess that you were arrested shortly thereafter.
I didn't know you were there, Doug. Yeah, I mean,
Was it for the Peace Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. I just thought I'd stop by, and I didn't see the arrest.
You know, it looks like 90% of those Peace Park speakers were all for setting up a Peace Park, but they apparently don't give a shit about pressuring the city council to do something about the war. So I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing? We're sitting around writing peace on the blackboard while we're funding all this bombing that's going on overseas and this massive expansion of military aid, and there's no pressure at all on city council to take any kind of stand. Now, what do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting for me, the fact that, see, I was calling because I know that Chris Krohn, he was on Free Radio.
That's Fuhrer Krohn, if you don't mind.
What's that?
Fuhrer Krohn.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know he was on Free Radio. I actually heard he was on Skidmark's show.
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought it was an interesting interview. You know, there was a few. Most people were like, you know, wow, the mayor's on. But then a few people were like, you know, what's going on with this and this, local issues, like. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested. Like, I wasn't aware that things were getting noticeably worse in that respect as far as public comment, but that's been your take on what's, I mean,
yeah.
I haven't been to, actually myself to blame too. I haven't really been to as many council meetings as I'd like to.
Yeah, I would say that things have gotten worse. I mean, an example, I mean, I take a critic like myself. I mean,
uh-huh.
You have one way to judge, you know, how a city council is doing is how it treats its critics. I mean,
yeah.
It's not how it treats the people it likes. You know, that's really not the issue. The issue
uh-huh.
is how does it treat people it doesn't like. And what it did with me is, under Fitzmaurice,
yeah.
when I attempted to talk on items that are on the so-called consent agenda, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the consent agenda is a thing in the afternoon which they just say, okay, everybody agrees with these 12 items, we'll pass them all, and they all say sure.
Oh, and you spoke at that time or something?
Well, no.
I wasn't sure why you couldn't speak later.
I'll go into that in a minute.
Okay.
A member of the public or a member of the city council can pull an item off the consent agenda
uh-huh.
and say, look, let's talk about this.
Okay.
And so I pulled off three or four items to talk about them. And Fitzmaurice, when he was mayor, cut back my normal 3-minute time to 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
The next time I did that, 2 or 3 weeks later, he cut it back to 1 minute. The next time, he cut it back to 30 seconds per
really?
Item. Now, when Krohn came into power,
uh-huh.
you think that's going to be a hard act to follow. You know what he did?
Yeah.
He took all the items that I asked to talk on, moved them from 3:30 to 11:30 at night.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't talk on them at all.
Huh.
So there's now you ask what happened. You can talk. I mean, people can talk at city council, you know, for 3 minutes on any item on the agenda.
Uh-huh.
Most people don't because they don't have anything to say about those items. I talk usually about a number of them, and some people say that they don't like my conversation because they think it's uh-huh. peripheral to the item. You know, I bring up issues of civil rights for the homeless and poverty, but I think that those are relevant issues provided that I stick to the item. And, you know, relate it to the item. And I do that. And the council gets impatient with this, but, you know, that's life. What happened on last Tuesday, or I should say Tuesday before last, was during the oral communications period where you had a lot of people trying to talk, as you pointed out, about the Peace Park.
Yeah.
And first of all, as I mentioned, Krohn cut back oral communications from 3 minutes to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Even though he had plenty of time, you know, he could have, you know.
Is that something they just is there a certain amount of time usually that's allowed? Is
well,
that
oral communications is traditionally 3 minutes because it's the only time people have now.
I mean, I've seen lines of people. It seems like they accommodated in the past, from what I recall. I mean, there was people circling the building almost that were talking. Is that not that's?
There have been lines.
My recollection.
There have been lines of people, but usually those are for public hearings.
Huh.
But there have occasionally been lines of people for oral communication that are long.
Okay.
But for example, the Board of Supervisors uses a system where it allows 3 minutes per speaker.
Yeah.
I think it's for the first half hour or the first hour, and then it puts the rest of the speakers at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
But you still get your 3 minutes. So
uh-huh.
if you want to wait, if you want to come back at 4 o'clock, you can get your Board of Supervisors meets during the day.
All right.
Starts at 9 and goes till 3 or 4. The City Council conceivably could do something like that.
Yeah.
Or it could do what it has done in the past, rarely. It could extend oral communications time to allow for all the speakers, which,
uh-huh.
you know, might be another 15 or 20 minutes, God forbid, of public time, you know,
uh-huh.
which they would not be spending their time blathering on and on and on as they
uh-huh.
do. And that's another thing I've noted. There are no restrictions on their discussion. If you go to the legislature of the state,
yeah.
You can't do that. You get each speaker has a limited amount of time to speak, even the people who are legislators, you know.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the reason you called in has to do with the fact that you are going to be going to trial for violating a university code on camping. Now, are you a criminal camper? Do you want to confess here in front of the entire world? What's going on?
Well, the thing is, it was bizarre. Like with Mulligan is, and this took me by surprise a little bit. People might want to be on a lookout for this. And I was going to call actually for your opinion that he
Mulligan's, of course, the referee in the basement of. He's in Department 10. He's the judge, so to speak.
And I know he. I personally don't think I have a strong case. I thought that I would have a case for at least lowering it down to like the city level, but it sounds like they have the option of doing
they
either
might.
Code.
You know, I am talking through my hat though. I mean, I've never.
Yeah.
Your case is unusual. They don't have a lot of university cases that go to court.
Okay, but then he kind of like it took me by surprise that he actually knocked the camping ticket in half. And I wasn't actually expecting that. I wasn't like I was thinking like.
What do you mean he knocked it in half?
So he said, okay, it's 160 something, and he's like, I'll knock it down to 81. The last time I went in there, they wouldn't lower it at all. They're like, you got to go to court if you want to deal with this.
Well, I think that
is that usual that they'll knock it in half or not?
Well, Mulligan likes to play these little games sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not a game. You might consider it a concession on his part. I know that when you went to your prior, you had a similar ticket.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was under 6.36 or UC code 57. 6.36 is the city law. UC code 57 is the university code.
Yeah, UC,
for, against camping. We're talking about making it criminal to sleep after a certain hour at night in an area where there is emergency shelter for 10% of the population during the winter.
Yeah.
And,
the last time it was at 7 at night, I was actually visiting somebody, and they weren't there, and it was like, it wasn't my place or anything, and the guy came along. And so, I'm like, it's 7 at night, like, I haven't done anything. He's like, well, you can go to, jail for, like, 3 days if you don't want to sign this ticket. So I ended up signing it. I went to court. I ended up getting knocked down to like $50, but it was only because their case was so weak,
Well, remember, here's an example. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
You were charged under the same ordinance, and in Danner's court, and Danner is a judge who is partial to the prosecution and partial to the police, he knocked it down to $50. Note that Mulligan only knocked it down to $81, and that was only if you pled guilty.
Yeah.
And so you didn't plead guilty, so he's going to try to screw you for the whole $162.
Uh-huh.
Maybe what you need to do is bring in an expert witness or bring in a statement from the, it's going to be hard to do if you didn't, do you have a picture ID?
Yeah.
See, that's a hard thing. If you don't have picture ID, it's hard to use the armory because it's not legal to get into the armory.
Uh-huh.
You might want to get some statement that there is inadequate shelter. Are you a student on campus?
No.
You're just a trespasser, man, who hides out on the campus while decent citizens, try to use those facilities.
I guess, what the thing is I'm thinking about, though, is just the process at this point of, like, how those things get reduced. And I know, granted, $50 is still, it's, like, still something, like, down in town. But
can you
like,
make a showing of
is there any process like that up at the, There's, like, nothing.
I think
like
you should ask to put on a necessity defense.
Uh-huh.
That's of course that involves some research on your part, but you could also that has been successfully used in Santa Barbara. Of course, it was done with an attorney there.
Yeah,
but it still can be done. It was done in infraction cases. Usually, you want to put on a necessity defense before a jury because the judge just wants to get the case out of there and get you, rolled up in the fines or something just out of there. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next case, and that's what of course Mulligan wanted to do, and that's why he gave you this fine option. And it wasn't a very fine option at that, I might note. I would suggest, when is your trial?
It's like in, got it put off so that if I had to pay anything, it would be as late, or maybe they'd lose, like, track of it or something.
What's the court date?
Not till May 14th, so it's still kind of a ways.
That's a ways down. That's a trial, or that's your payment date?
That's the trial.
That's good. Well, I think what you need to do then is, get back to Huff. Come to the next Huff meeting. Huff meets every Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning. Can you imagine that? At Baker's Square, or arrange to meet with one of the great Huff legal maestros, and we will, try to, run you through the. We've done this before.
Oh, okay.
Run you through the shtick and maybe give you some ideas.
You've got like legal like people there or anything, or you've just your own cases too.
Well, we don't usually have lawyers that come to these meetings, but there is a summit coming up. I've mentioned this on the air.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, the 3rd.
There are going to be legal people at that summit, the May 3rd and 4th, and I suggest you bring your camping ticket to that thing.
Oh, that would be an idea.
You might
be able
to get some volunteer legal help there.
Huh. You know, it's just a little aside here too. A friend of mine got a ticket too, and I was we were talking about maybe he could do the wood rat defense.
Which means?
He thought he was a wood rat.
Ah. Insanity in the face of an insane policy.
Well, you know, it's just like, you know, what? Just hanging out there in the forest, you know, and just like the wood rats.
Sort of the earth first approach.
Yeah.
Well, I will.
Now, I don't know if legally it would, you know, anything legally, but you know, maybe showing up in court in a wood rat suit or something, you know. But do you think Mulligan would be amused by that?
I think he should start nibbling on his chair. That might be good. He might get so freaked out he would have you 5150'd or something.
Well, alrighty,
Doug, I appreciate your calling in. Do come to the summit, maybe come to the Huff meeting, and call me again. We can make it actually sit down and talk about it in more detail.
Okay. All right. We'll see you. Good luck with everything.
Hey, thanks.
All right. Bye.
And that was old Doug from the Redwoods up on campus. He got a camping ticket up there, and now he's made the mistake of not disqualifying referee Mulligan, or meat grinder Mulligan, as I like to call him, the man from Department 10 in the basement of the county building. Disqualify Mulligan. Do it. Definitely.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello? 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 Yo, hold it. Whoa. Hello? Hello? You're on Free... You're on Free Radio.
How are you?
I'm good. Sounds like we got a real echo chamber there.
Sorry about that. It's a cell phone, and then the cell phone is...
That's better.
It's bouncing off the radio.
That sounds like the notorious Just Man Jim Costner, barred from the Free Radio Santa Cruz studios,
barred
on the airwaves.
Barred Free Radio, but the mayor's not. I find that fascinating.
Well, the mayor is a nicer...
He's an outstanding
the mayor has more credentials, let's put it that way. So, what's cooking there, Costner?
Well, I'm listening to the conversation for the half an hour, and I guess I could, you know... Just
getting
wanted to
bored,
add a couple,
are we?
No, just wanted to add a couple comments. First of all, I the society that outlaws sleep is amazing, and the city council that calls itself liberal progressive but outlaws sleep is phenomenal, and people getting, you know, you putting basically not even speaking out, but just because I saw that tape, you know, where you arrested, and I saw that tape where you raised your hand in the fascist salute, you know, as back in the, it stems from Germany, stems from the Nazi movement, you know, Adolf Hitler and crew, and so on and so forth. And the mayor doesn't even see you do it. And Tim Fitzmaurice brings it to his attention so that then you can be asked to leave, which is a new thing. Where is it in the policies or the rule book that they can actually just ask you to leave with no basis whatsoever? You decide not to go, you sit down, and then they have you arrested. And I just find it really fascinating, the whole of it. But there is a comment in that, though, is that I would remind people, you know, that there's always an aspect of the debate or an aspect of the truth that seems to be left out. And that is that when you have a society, and you could comment on for probably years and years, which I know we don't have the time to do that, but one comment is that when you live in a society where it's become normalized to perpetrate genocide against the original inhabitants, and you have a population that basically never says anything about it, feels nothing about it, says nothing about it, and really cares not about it at all. In fact, as long as it's not happening to them, they seem to be okay. I just find it fascinating that then people are kind of left wondering why these things occur. But at the same time, the disease that has been allowed to spread and grow here and actually nurtured, and actually a lot of people seem to like the disease. They benefit from the disease. They nurture the disease and they support the disease. And then the disease comes back and gets them. And then they wonder where it came from. But for us, it's not a real deep question about where it comes from, because for us, 510 years of the disease, you get to know it real well. And you get real tired of it. Mm-hmm. And you also get tired of people who only want to deal with certain aspects of it that affect them, but the other aspects are not important, which is called really hypocrisy, actually. You made a comment about how the people that went and came into Peace Park are all up in arms about this Peace Park, you know, thing, which I think is a joke. In all honesty, Peace Park. You know, I think people should, you know, talk about a land that has native bones under it, and you guys are going to argue about whether you're going to call part of it Peace Park or not. It's just phenomenal. But hey, that's just, you know, my own comment. So, you know, I'm so happy that I finally figured out that it's best for me to leave this community, and I just wanted to end thanking all the liberals out there, all the wonderful liberals in Santa Cruz who are so just amazingly human, so not racist and not sexist and not classist, and have the just most civil attitude towards each other, the walking images of respect, and the great militant movement of Santa Cruz. I just wanted to thank all you folks for making it crystal clear to me that I should have let this community long, long time ago.
Well, I think that if one wants to, you know, engage in, you know, sort of more militant direct action stuff, Santa Cruz may not be the place to do it. And I've often suggested that, you know, there are different places where, particularly larger cities, there are people, I think, who are have a more radical cast of mind, and that, you know, that's definitely something for an activist to consider if she or he wants to, you know, get involved in those sorts of things.
If he wants real change and, like, real things to happen, yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. I guess I'd like to end on one note, too, and it would be really an interesting concept if people would have the courage to tell the truth, and I'm not speaking of the city council, for they're so far gone from the truth that they're absolutely lost and probably will never be found again, but there are those people in the community who aren't that far gone, but yet they don't have the courage to tell the truth. So if you're one of those people who's involved in movement and you really don't want real change, just have the courage to say it. Just have the courage to say that you don't really want the end of the sleeping ban. You don't really care whether you live on stolen land or not. Just tell the truth. You don't really mind that thousands of women get raped every day in America. Just tell it. Just say it. You know, it's okay to tell the truth. You don't care that Afghanis are getting bombed and mass murdered and mutilated with your tax dollars. You don't mind that Palestinians are getting bulleted, you know, in occupied territory.
Well,
just
of course.
Go ahead and
you know,
just be honest.
You know, Jim,
just, you know, be real.
It's not that, of course, a lot of people feel that they would not like, they oppose those things, but it's always a question of, you know, what people want to risk and what is at stake for them in taking strong action. And then there's also the question of whether that action will be successful. I mean, I know a man who smashed a statue in San Jose with, I think, the best of motives. But I wonder, I think that given the same circumstances, that same activist who smashed the statue of a genocidal guy, you know, a conquistador, would probably not do the same thing again. Now, am I wrong in suggesting that?
I think it was a perfectly fine thing to do, given the circumstances, and I think that in reality, you know, that's a...
I'm not arguing that there should be statues of Hitler or Columbus or any other folks of that sort here and there, but I'm saying I think this same activist would probably not do that again if given the choice.
So would you say that you should take it, do it the legal way, and then maybe by the time we're all like gray-haired and almost...
Well, no,
you know,
I'm saying,
get rid of something,
I'm saying that
something.
Under some circumstances one has to recognize that you need you know, a lot of other people to support you.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're talking about, you know, ending the sleeping ban for 25 years, and I would just...
12
like to,
years.
You know, okay, 12 years.
Yeah.
So how is it possible that with all the history and all the lessons and all the sacrifice, you look at the civil rights movement alone, people had all these unjust laws to contend with and to deal with, and they knew how to get rid of them. You know, they knew how to take them on. But how come in Santa Cruz you have a resource center for nonviolence with Gandhi's books, you know, packed to the shelf, and you have people who in the community who know some level of understanding of the history, and you basically have hardly anybody who's willing to point at any kind of intelligent direction in the community when it comes to getting rid of one little unjust law. And you have a whole bunch of people that actually say they want to do it, but they stand up in line and try to stop anybody who really wants it. And it gets to the point where it's really hard to figure out who's real and who's not real, because
there's
so few people who are real and so many people who are unreal. That
you asked me a question. The answer, I don't have an answer clearly, but I mean, one of my thoughts about that is that that's one of the things we're going to be talking about on May 3rd and 4th among activists, because there are a lot of people who I think really do want to end the sleeping ban, but the question is, we have to decide what we're willing to risk, how much time we're willing to put in, you know, what we can learn from the lessons from the past that have, where we've, you know, we started but we haven't been successful. And remember, there's also elements of chance in it. I mean, Rosa Parks was not the first person who sat down on the bus. There were plenty of people who did it before her. It just happened that at that moment in 1955, it caught fire, and I don't know the reason. You know, I mean, I'm not. I can't really say. You know, it's. I don't want to say it's a big mystery, but I'm going to say that sometimes, you know, you struggle against the tide for a long time, and then suddenly the tide turns. So I don't know. Jim, I thank you for calling. Any announcements you want to make of any sort?
There's an Ohlone benefit if people are interested on Saturday the 30th from 7 to 9 at the Vets Hall, room 23. Patrick Garasco, who's one of the Ohlone elders, will be coming, and a couple of his dancers, a couple of the dancers from Ohlone will be coming, and it's a great way to help preserve the traditional culture and to learn about the traditional cultures and to learn about the people whose land that you live on. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for making this announcement.
Hey, Jim, and how can people get more information? Is there a number they can call?
They can call 831-419-3895.
419-3895. Jim, thank you very much, and I don't care how far away you move, you're always welcome to call the show.
Thank you for the time, Robert.
All righty.
And that was activist Jim Costner. We've eaten up an hour of the show now, but hey, got a couple callers. That's always a good sign, that so that somebody's listening, somebody feels moved to say something. I know how frustrating it does feel for activists who want to change things. You know, if you're outside, you wonder, why should I make a target to myself by trying to do things where I'm going to be, you know, dragged away by police or suffer more harassment than before. If you're inside and you have a stake in things, you get nervous about, you know, am I going to lose, which of my jobs am I going to lose if I go to jail? Do I have time to do this? Is it going to be effective? These are all questions that are real questions for people in a real life situation. You've got kids to bring up. You've got older people to care for. There are conflicting concerns that come up here, and they're real. On the other hand, some of us who keep on doing this, and though I you know, commend people for considering this Ohlone discussion that's happening Tuesday night, I also invite people to come first to the City Council, first to a press conference at 6:30 at City Hall, and then to come to the oral communications period and support those speakers who intend to speak freely, and not to disrupt the council, but also not to be afraid of and not to back down when their rights are being essentially dismantled by the City Council, dismissed, and they're being told that if they assert them, they'll be arrested. That cannot be permitted, and I'm hopeful that it won't be permitted, or at least we'll see some people who are saying no thanks on that issue. Or perhaps City Council and Mayor Crone will have learned a lesson. You never can tell what's going to happen there. When I went up to the San Francisco summit, there was a one-day summit in San Francisco on homelessness. And our summit, by the way, is not really about homelessness in May. It's going to be about homeless activism. We're going to try to find a way to do something and bring something out of that summit that will actually go somewhere, whether it's a tent city or a series of protests. We'll see if we actually can learn something that can be translated into action. But when I was up in San Francisco, I ran into Tiny, who's with the Poe Poets Project, and she sold me a disc, and I'm going to play a little bit from the Poor Magazine's Poe Poets Project now, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Poe Poet, National Poetry Spoken Word Project of Poor Magazine.
Sometimes I wonder how it feels to be truly free. But the way I see it is, we the people ain't nothing but bird seed. A feed so a vulture can eat. A part of a growing virus called the cyst, where ain't nobody benefiting but the rich man and the politician. Where every little bit of income you earn, they take a dip in. The next step from a pimp is the government slapping your ass with taxes. We work hard for the politicians while they take advantage of the luxuries. Silk suits, satellite...